Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. On Thursday we had discussed last the aspect of khushu and the aspect of khudu with various incidents, examples, so that we understand what is the meaning of khushu and what is the meaning of khudu, which will be used extensively in this kitab, Anwar al-Salah. So the first we mentioned was the aspect of khushu, which is an internal quality where a person is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when he performs his salah. And the term khudu, that refers to all the external limbs of the body being humble before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now the ulama have written that there are two categories of musallis. The first category of musallis are those people that are engrossed in their salah, that are absorbed in their salah from the beginning right till the end. And this is a very high level of khushu. It is famous about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he would be struck by an arrow in any battle, then that arrow would be removed from the body of Ali radiallahu ta'ala whilst he would be in salah, because he was so engrossed in his salah, so engaged in his salah, that when that arrow would be removed, then he wouldn't even know that the arrow has been removed from his body. No pain also whatsoever, because he's so involved in his salah. So one occasion, the arrow struck Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the thigh. On occasion of a certain battle, the arrow struck him in the thigh. And they tried removing the arrow, but Sahaba were unable to remove the arrow. So they made mashura that what should we do? So the Sahaba said that let Ali radiallahu ta'ala commence his salah, and we will then remove the arrow. So when he commenced his nafil salah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala went into sajda, and that arrow was then pulled out by force. So after salah, he saw an entire jamaat standing around him. So he asked them that, have you come to remove the arrow? So they said, no, we already removed the arrow. Whilst you were in sajda, it was already out. So he said, I was totally unaware of this. So we can understand what a high level of salah Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to perform. Hazrat Amir bin Abdullah rahmatullahi, it mentioned in regard to him that when he would stand in salah, leave the talking of the house people, even if somebody had to beat the drums, and you know beating of the drum is normally very loud. So he says, I cannot even hear the beating of the drums. So somebody asked him, they said that, are you even aware of anything whilst you are performing salah? He said, yes, I am aware of the fact that I will have to stand one day before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and I will either have to go to Jahannam or I will have to go to Jannat. He says, this is what I am aware of in salah. So they said, we are not talking about this. We want to know that if anyone is talking, then are you even aware of our talk? Do you even hear us talking whilst you are performing salah? So he said, it is better that a spear pierces my body and the spear enters into my body than hearing you people talk. So this is a very, very high level of salah that we are talking. So this is one category of musallis that are absorbed in their salah, they're so engrossed in their salah from the beginning to the end to such an extent they can't even hear anyone talking. Or if an arrow or some harmful object has entered into their body and if it is removed, then they're not even aware of that. This is a very high level of salah. And the second category of salah musallis refer to those people that are confronted with various thoughts in salah, but they try and maintain their concentration in salah. This is like our salah, the salah that we perform, where we are confronted with various types of thoughts whilst we're in salah. Sometimes it is the business that comes to mind. A lady is performing salah, she is thinking about what to cook or what she has to do in the house, or the children are going to come now from school, so she is thinking of something. Businessman is thinking he has to do that deposit, he has to go for that meeting. So all these thoughts come to a person when he is in salah. But a person tries to keep his concentration. So this is a second category of musallis. So in salah, when a person, his mind drifts away, then a person, the moment he becomes conscious of it, he should now try and get his attention back towards his salah, and he should now focus again on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, connect to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As the Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, in namaz, dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. For a person to be totally engrossed and absorbed in his salah from the beginning right till the end, he said that is not faraz. That dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai. Dil ka lagana faraz hai. That now to bring your heart into salah, to bring your concentration, you realize now that my mind has drifted away. So the moment you became aware of it, now you bring your mind into salah, this is what is faraz. The example of Hazrat gives of this, he says, like a mother, she takes a child and she goes to the marketplace. She goes to the supermarket or she goes to the mall. Now there's a little child, 3-year-old child, to the 4-year-old child. So what happens when she's walking through the aisle where there's toys? So that child now is going to run to a certain toy. So what does the mother do? The mother then pulls the child and brings the child back. Then the child sees, for example, a bicycle somewhere. So now the child is going to run for the bicycle. So again the mother has to grab the child and pull the child back. So every time the child runs away, the mother grabs the child, brings the child back. Exactly the same way, understand our concentration in salah. The moment our concentration runs away, now our concentration, our mind is going towards something else. And we become conscious. The moment we become conscious, bring it back into salah. This is the meaning of dil ka lagana faraz hai, that this is what is required. This is what is necessary, that bring your concentration back into salah. So the ulama have written that the second group of musallis, the second category, who are confronted with various type of thoughts in their salah, but they always make an effort to maintain their concentration, they get the same reward as the first group. Whatever reward the first group get, they get the same reward. And some say they get a greater reward. They get a much greater reward than the first group. So yeah, we shouldn't become frightened. We'll explain this now, that it's proven even in another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that where a person makes more effort, there is greater reward for him. So we shouldn't become afraid by these thoughts affecting us during our salah. Hazrat explained that one person came to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So he told Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi that you never hear of Shias becoming Qadiani. He said you'll always hear of Sunnis, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they becoming Qadianis. So Mufti Sahib was very witty, mashallah. So he gave a very beautiful answer to this. And he said that Shaitan knows that the Shia got nothing. So why must he go and waste his time over there? He'll go by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, by the Sunni. He knows that he got Iman, so he wants to rob him of his Iman. As it says that Shaitan is not foolish. He don't steal money from anyone's house. The robbers, the thieves, they go and steal money. But Shaitan, he doesn't steal. He doesn't waste his time stealing money, because money got no real value. The day your eyes close, that money has no value whatsoever. He says Shaitan, he attacks the Iman of a person. So we're saying that there are these two categories of Musallis. And the second one, the second category gets the same reward or even more than the first category. Is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, "Al mahiru bil Quran ma'a safaratil kiramil barara." That person that is an expert in reciting Quran, he reads very, very well with tajweed, with the proper makharij, etc. This person who is a mahir and an expert of the Quran, he will be with the noble angels that are the scribes, those angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those malaika that transfer the Quran from the Lawh Mahfuz. He will be in that rank, in that category. So the rank of a mahir, an expert of the Quran, is very, very high. That's like the first category. But then it says, وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That person that recites Quran and he stutters, وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ, he stutters, he goes through difficulty. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ, that is difficult upon him to recite Quran, to memorize Quran, etc. For him, there is a lahu ajran. He gets a double fold reward. Why? The one reward he gets for recitation of his Quran. He's reciting Quran, for that you're going to get reward. And secondly, you're making a double fold effort. You're making so much more effort in trying to read Quran. You don't give up. So that is why for you, there is a double fold reward. So exactly the same way, the first category, they, mashallah, when they start their salah, they already engrossed in their salah, absorbed in their salah, they got their connection with Allah Ta'ala. So they got no problem. But the second group, like you and I, we have a problem with our salah. Our mind is running away, we got to bring it back. Again it runs away, again we got to bring it back. So there is a double fold effort. So we're performing our salah and we're making the effort of maintaining our concentration in salah. So for that person, therefore some ulama say that for them is a higher reward than even the first group. So this is a great effort that we have to make. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was a very, very wise man. It is mentioned Hazrat Ahmad Sa'id Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi has written that Luqman alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala blessed him with a very, very long life. So long that he had the opportunity of being in the company of 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam remained with 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And before Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam used to give fatawa. But when Dawud alayhi salam came, he was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he stopped giving fatawa. So majority of the scholars of the Mufassirin say that he was not a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. But Luqman alayhi salam was a very, very wise man. Luqman al-Hakim, he was a very wise man. So many great advices he used to give. But Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he summarized his life and he gave only eight advices, eight great advices that he has given, that if a person can act upon these eight advices. So the one advice that he gave, he says that when you stand for salah, then watch your heart. Because at that time you're in communication with Allah Ta'ala. Now your mind is running this way, running that way. So he says that be careful, watch your heart when you stand for salah. So this khushu, this internal connection is also very important. And the khudu, which is the external postures in salah, this is also necessary and important. Now in this kitab, which has been written down by Sufi Iqbal, is the kitab of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi, he is bayan. But Sufi Iqbal, who was a khalifa of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayh, he has written the original kitab of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi Alayh. And together with it, he has put in his sharah, he has put in his explanation as well. This is a very small kitab. There's only five sabaks. There's only five sabaks in this kitab. But if we only get these five sabaks into our life, then see what will become the quality of our salam. The ulama have written that salah is such an ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, that this salah, it comprises the ibadat of all the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. For example, if you look at the malaika, there are those malaika of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that some of them, they making tasbih all the time, subhanallah. Some malaika, they saying alhamdulillah. Some malaika, they are only in Allah Akbar, tadbir. So, the malaika have different, there's different zikr, different malaika engage in. But when we perform salah, then in our salah, subhana rabbiyal azim, rabbana lakal hamd, subhana rabbiyal ala, all the zikr of all the malaika we got in our two rakats of salah. The trees, they are also in the ibadat of Allah, they in the zikr of Allah. And what is the ibadat of the trees? They in the qiyam posture, they standing, and their whole life they will stand. The trees will always be in the qiyam posture, that will never ever change. If you look at the four-legged animals, like you get the cow, you get the goat, etc., the four-legged animals, they are, so to say, in the ruku posture. And they will always be in the ruku posture for the rest of their life. The insects that are crawling on the ground, they are in the sajda posture. And they will remain there for the rest of their life. And the mountains that we got, the mountains that are around us, they are all in the qada posture. They are all in the qada posture. So, in the four rakats or the two rakats of salah that we performing, we got the ibadat of the trees also. We got the ibadat of the four-legged animals. We got the ibadat of the insects. We got the ibadat of the mountains. And in salah we are moving from qiyam to ruku, ruku to qawma, qawma to sajda, and then up from sajda. All the sun, the moon, etc., all the planets, etc., all this that is moving all the time, they ibadat we got in our two rakats of salah. What Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasn't given us in the two rakats of salah. That is why a person should make an effort. That is why an effort should be made that we correct our salah. We try and get a perfect salah. Obviously, a person might not reach 100%. But you continue making that effort in that direction. And inshallah, when we be raised on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will give us the reward of 100% salah. Why? We continuously made that effort. We find that Allah Ta'ala reward, Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahab Daun Barakatum, that Hazrat, he made a lot of effort. And when he taught salah to us, he made a lot of effort in teaching salah, especially when it came to the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Nazir Maulana would come and he would have his bayan after the Asr salah. So many a times before he starts his bayan, he will correct our postures. He will observe that, for example, our postures are not correct whilst we perform in salah. So he will correct our postures. For example, the way our hands are. So he will tell us, many a time he will come and he'll say that when we saying the takbir at-tahrima, Allahu Akbar, then the hands should be facing towards the Qibla. Sometimes we don't observe. And we cannot check for ourselves. We have to tell somebody else that check. Are my hands facing correctly, facing in the direction of Qibla? Sometimes it is like this. Sometimes it is like this. And we're saying Allahu Akbar. So the palms of a person supposed to be facing in the direction of the Qibla when he's saying Allahu Akbar. And a person, how he must tie his hands. So this, the way our hands should face when saying Allahu Akbar, this would be corrected many a time. When we go into, and the fingers should be kept normal. The fingers should be kept normal, it shouldn't be together, it shouldn't be wide apart. There's only two places in salah. One place where the fingers are wide apart, that is in ruku. When we go into ruku, the fingers are wide and we grip, we press onto our knees, we grip onto our knees. And the second place where all the fingers are together is in sajda. When we're in sajda, then the fingers must be kept together and our hand must be kept flat on the ground. Should be flat on the ground. So here also the Maulana will always come, and you would notice that people, their fingers are not together. When they in sajda, their fingers are wide, or sometimes our hands are down, the fingers are together, but the hand is slightly raised. So he said, no, that's not the way. So he would correct that particular posture of salah, that has to be corrected. Or sometime he would come and he would say that when you make salam, we're not making salam correctly. When we make salam, salam is from the middle. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So you must turn the head full to the right. So much so that the person that is in the back, he can see the whiteness of the cheek, the color of the cheek can be seen by the person in the back. And the eyes of a person should be on his shoulder. And then from the right, you don't go straight, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, all the way to the left. No, you come back to the middle. You come back to the middle, and then from the middle, now you make your second salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you turn fully to the left. There also the gaze should be on the shoulder. The whiteness of the cheek can be seen by the person in the back. And then salam is still not over. Now from there you must come back to the middle. And now the complete salam has been done. So see, salam also has to be done correctly. So like this, the various postures of salah, which of ours was not correct, and perhaps up to today also it is not perfect. We are also learning all the time. So these used to be corrected. So you have to stay under mashayikh. They will correct your salah. What we learn in the kitabs is all day in the kitabs. But the practicality of it, to learn the practical way of performing salah, we have to go and live with mashayikh. They will then correct our salah. Then we find that Hazrat would explain. For example, when we're making zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they also, when making zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, some people, they move. So they move very harshly. They said, no, zikr is not made like that. Person just moves slightly. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Very slightly. Like it says, like the movement of the trees. When the trees sway, very slightly. And then the zikr also, you don't make it too loudly. And neither do you make it completely silently. But just very slightly. La ilaha illallah. Just slightly, like a buzzing sound. It mentioned Harun al-Rashid, his wife Zubaydah. She had khadima, slave girls that were working in the house. And perhaps, I can't remember the number, 70 or 80 slave girls that she had working in her palace. All of them were hafidah. And when they used to be working the whole day, all of them would be reciting Quran. And they would be doing the work in the palace. So if an outsider had to come, then the outsider, he will hear like the buzzing of the bees. They wouldn't know that these are hafidahs and they are reciting Quran while they are working. So like the buzzing of the bees, they would hear. So this is how the zikr also has to be made. Not very loudly also, and not too much of movement, but very slight movement. La ilaha, everything taking out of our heart. And then illallah is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A person is drawing now from the arsh of Allah ta'ala. Whatever need a person has, he's drawing from the arsh of Allah ta'ala and he's putting it. All my faults, all my wrong, I'm throwing it out. And now I'm drawing from the arsh and the khazain of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and entering into my heart. Sometimes still, we don't get it right. So then Mawlana will say, look at that person. How he is doing it, that is the correct way. So if you don't know how to do it, watch that person and you will get it right. Normally when after the Taraweeh Salah, normally in the month of Ramadan, the two Nafil, after Taraweeh, he sits and reads it. The Nafil Namaz, we can sit and read also. Even if a person doesn't have an excuse, no problem, because it's Nafil. But the reward is 50%. He gets half the reward. If you stand, you get full reward. If a person sits, he will get 50%. So here, when a person, he is sitting and reading the Nafil Namaz, how do we make the ruku? So the ruku that a person performs, he doesn't go forward. He doesn't go too forward to perform the ruku. But it's mentioned in the Kitab of Fiqh, حَتَّى يُحَاذِيَ جَبْهَتُهُ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He bends to the extent that his forehead, حَتَّى يُحَاذِيَ جَبْهَتُهُ. His forehead is in line with his knees, رُكْبَتَيْهِ. So this much, just this much a person goes forward. So his forehead is in line with the knees. To this extent, a person goes forward. So here also, the Mawlana will explain many a times that this is how much you must bend, not more than this. This much a person should go forward for ruku. And then two people will bend even more. So he'll say, watch so and so. Watch so and so. He is making the ruku properly. So this is how the ruku should be done when a person is sitting and performing salah. So many things you learn. You have to sit by mashayikh. You have to stay under mashayikh. Then all these things will come into our lives. And they have to repeat it also. That is why we find there's a lot of repetition by mashayikh. Same example, same incidents we hear in previous years, we hear it again this year. And perhaps if we are again alive next year and the majalis take place, we will hear perhaps many of the same incidents again. Why? Because when there's repetition, now it sets into the heart, into the mind of a person. For example, when we would sit here sometimes, then in the evening somebody will bring water for Hazrat. So when you bring water, then a person, he doesn't realize, not conscious, so he hold a glass on the top and then he will give the glass over. Now when you're giving a glass over to somebody and you're holding it on the top, where must that person hold? He's supposed to be holding on top. So as the Mawlana will say, he'll say that, he'll ask somebody else, he'll say, when you give a glass to somebody, how do you give a glass? How do you hold a glass? So he says, you hold the glass in the bottom. So the person that you're giving it to, all the area on the top is for him to take that glass from you. But you holding on the top, where must he hold a glass? So see how tarbiyat is normally made. It's mentioned that Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali, that he also on one occasion has mentioned this to us, that Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali, he had quite a few sons, two, three sons, whatever it might be. His father, Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab's father, he had a few sons. So in other words, Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab had a few brothers, one or two brothers. But only Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab Rahmatullah Ali, he became an alim of deen. His other brothers, they were in some other profession. So whenever the father wanted water, he would ask for water. So Mawlana Abrar al-Haqtab Rahmatullah Ali, he would run and he would bring water and come and he would give his father. So when his father seen this, then his father said, I wish I made every son of mine an alim of deen. That today when I ask for water, that son that has the knowledge of deen, that became an alim of deen, he runs and he brings water and he comes. One day we were sitting and one person was here, one senior person. So Hazrat, normally after the Taraweeh when we have the program, then water is brought. So this person, he took the jugs and he didn't want to lose his place. He wanted his place right in front. So he gave another person, he said, go fill the water and bring it for Hazrat. So that person went, he filled the water, he brought the water, they put it there for Hazrat. So then Hazrat said, he said that every person must take it, is his responsibility to make khidmat of his sheikh. Don't tell somebody else to make khidmat of your sheikh. You yourself, you must make khidmat of your sheikh. Our asatiza, our mashayikh, we must make the khidmat. We can't instruct somebody else now to make the khidmat. So all this we learn. So this is how tarbiyat is made. Namaz also tarbiyat is made in this way. Then for example, the qari that is reading in salah. Here also in the kitabs, we don't learn that how should a person recite in salah. At what pace should a person recite? For example, like a person that is reading the Maghrib Salah. So in the Maghrib Salah, a person doesn't read too fast also. It's a short Salah, you don't read too fast. And neither does a person read too slow also. But like Hadar, a person doesn't read Hadar in Maghrib Salah. Tadweer, that is how a person should read in the Maghrib Salah. And the Isha Salah is longer. So the Isha Salah should be a little more faster than the Maghrib Salah. And the same should be, for example, the Jumu'ah Salah. And yes, when it comes to Taraweeh Salah, now in the Taraweeh Salah, a person, he can read fast in the Taraweeh Salah because there's so much to read. So a person can read Hadar, he can read a little fast in the Taraweeh Salah. And the Fajr Salah, especially in the month of Ramadan, there in the Fajr Salah, a person should read very short. A person shouldn't read long. As I explained that to the extent, like he has learned from his asatiza in Dioban, that read Surah Falak and Surah Nas. Now, it doesn't mean literally every day you read Surah Falak and Surah Nas. Meaning, make it very, very short. Make it easy for the people. The people are up from early. They're going to have, they had Sehri. Now they came for Fajr. They want to go back and they want to rest before they go to work. So, make it easy for the people. Now, a person on the day of Jumu'ah, now it is Jumu'ah. And the Sunnah Qirat on Jumu'ah is Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Dahar. In the month of Ramadan, you don't read Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Dahar. No, a person reads first rakat, maybe about half, three quarter page. Second rakat, little bit less than that. Finish in one page, the Fajr Salah is over. So make it easy for the people. In the hadith is mentioned, Man amma bin nas fal yukhaffif, that whoever makes imamat of people, then make it light for people, make it easy for people. Fa inna feehim al-da'if, among them are the weak people. Wazul haja, there are people that have needs, there are people that are sick. Sometime Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that I desire that I lengthen the salah. Fa asma'u buka as-sabi, then I hear the little children crying. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make the salah light for the people, make it easy for the people. So salah, when it comes to the congregation salah, the jamaat salah, and we're going to be imams, so make it easy for the people. And where we're reading our own namaz, now make it long. But today is other way around. Where is with the imam, then the imam long qiraat he wants to make. And when it comes to ours, then the fastest is first out. So that shouldn't be the way. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu talan is mentioned, the narration comes in the kitabs of hadith. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu talan, he used to wait in Masjid al-Nabawi. And there was no time. When Nabi al-Islam would come out of his room, then salah will take place. So they would wait. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would come out, then sahaba would perform salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa. So Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu talan would also perform salah there. Then he was the imam of Quba. So after he finished his salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would go to Quba and he would lead the people in salah there. According to the Hanafi mazhab, obviously not permissible. Other mazhab, perhaps it is permissible, but not in the Hanafi mazhab. That you already read your faraz one time, so now can other people, the second namaz that you're going to read is yunafil, so that is mutanafil. So can the salah of a muftarid behind a mutanafil, is it permissible or not? In the Hanafi mazhab, it's not permissible. So he is to go to Quba. And then in Quba, he used to lead the people there in Salah. So imagine, so late he finished here in Masjid al-Nabawi. Now, in those days, he's traveling to Quba. And then he's making Salah in Quba. Now, the people, the Sahaba that were there, these Sahaba are people working on the plantation. They got khajur farms, etc. on the plantation, they're working the whole day. They are tired. And now Muaz radiallahu anhu, he is already late because he has performed behind Nabi alayhi salam and come here. Now, what he starts reading? Surah Baqarah. So one person, he got tired. He got tired one day. He left the Jamaat. He said, I'll report you to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That long namazes you are reading over here. And we are tired. So the next day he went, he reported to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what he done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And he asked, O Mu'adh, is this correct? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is correct. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afattanun anta. You're making fitna amongst the people. Long namazes you are reading. He says that in Isha Salah, read, Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la, wash-shamsi wa duhaha, wa layli idha yakhsha. These type of surahs, what we refer to as awsat mufassal. So read the Awsat-e-Mufassal, which you read in the Asr Salah, and you read in the Isha Salah. That is from Suratul Buruj, right up to Suratul Qadr. End of Suratul Qadr, that is Awsat-e-Mufassal. So these surahs recite in the Isha Salah, don't make it difficult for the people. So this is how we learn. Otherwise, in the kitabs, you don't get everything. That's why great akabiri, like Mullah Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, they said that all the uloom we got in the kitab. All the knowledge is in the kitab. But the practical of it, the mitai, how to make mitai, we learn in the kitab. But the taste of the mitai, that we got by mashayikh. You have to sit by mashayikh to get the taste of that mitai. Once, I remember when I was reading Tarawih Salaya, and we're reading the last quarter of 8. Sort of mutashabihad also, isn't it? So last quarter of 8 para. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ Then Nuh alayhi salatu salam, Aad, Samud, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Shu'ib alayhi salam. All the various incidents come in that last quarter of 8. So when I was reading, then I would start, for example, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and then I would go into the incident of Hud alayhi salam, and then halfway Hud alayhi salam, I'll stop over there and go into ruku. Then I'll start with Hud alayhi salam, and halfway, and I'll go into Salih alayhi salam, and I'll make ruku over there. So I was breaking the stories half into pieces. So the next Hazrat came, he said that, you know the tarjuma of Quran, you learn tarjuma in class. I was still in third year at the time. He said, you learn tarjuma of the Quran, you know tarjuma, how can you break the stories? Finish one story, or finish two stories and then go into ruku. So see, tarbiyat has to be made. So little by little, a person, he learns all these things when we stay by mashayikh. Similarly, the salam that we make, when we make salam, how we normally make salam. So the first salam should be a little longer than the second salam. They should be almost the same, but the first one should be a little longer than the second one. Meaning the second one must be a little shorter than the first one, and a little softer also than the first one. But approximately the same, the salam also. So this also we have to learn, that how should we perform salah. This we all have to learn from our mashayikh, our akabirin. We have to stay with them. Inshallah, we'll continue from here.